the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Well, we are halfway through the summer. It is the beginning of August. Hope you are finding a way to keep out of the heat because, global warming is here and we're all doomed, as Glum would say from Gulliver's Travel. We're doomed. But we're here to put a take a too sunny day and make it bright for you, because we're going to entertain you, talk some comic books, talk some other fun things. And why do we do that? Because we do it for the people. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm the man referred to as Surfer, and joining me, of course, is the co-host, the guy who just won't go to Hollywood and become famous on me, Jordan Cobb.
Hello. It doesn't work like that. I'm trying to work my way up.
That's not what you said. Some months ago about how.
Okay, you cannot hold. You cannot hold anything I say while drunk against me.
It's on tape, and Double A's gonna hold that over your head come the Ranty Awards. Trust me.
By the way, protest people, give me a nomination this time.
So, here's the boring part. Of course, must ask how was your week? Not that you're boring, but the routine is boring.
Well, that's why you gotta shake it up. Here, I got some handcuffs. Got a little blindfold. Got a flogger.
I don't know what kind of stuff you're into, but keep that to yourself.
I'm fine. I've been doing my writing, my editing, and I've been catching up on several comics. I've read Cyborg number 1, wrote a review about that for Don't Hate the Geek. Read the penultimate chapter of Mark Waid's Daredevil. Gonna be very sad next month when that's over. And I've been diving into some of my Secret Wars books that I'm not caught up on.
Oh, well, I've had an interesting week. not much to report. Did I tell you that I won a year pass to a movie theater this week?
No, I didn't. You didn't tell me that, but I know about that.
Yeah, it just fell into my lap, and I got the card in the mail yesterday. What? It's unclear how often I can use it. Whether it's every day, once a week, multiple times a day. I doubt if it's multiple times a day. It's just a question whether it's every day or once a week or once a month. Uh-huh. Or there's a set amount of times I can use it and then the card explodes. And I don't know. I need all these questions answered.
So. Well, yeah. I caught up on some movies. I finally saw Trainwreck.
Your woman dragged you?
No, I No, I went to see it by myself on my own free will and recognizance.
You didn't go with your lady friend?
No.
She didn't want to see it?
I haven't asked her if she wanted to see it. I just saw that I had an opportunity to go see it, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go do that.
Okay. And you enjoyed it?
Oh, I really liked it a lot. I loved it. So good.
I liked it, but I think it suffered from what every Judd Apatow movie suffers from. Too freaking long.
This is actually one of the shorter movies of his.
No, it was too long.
Okay, there were some scenes that could have been tight, more tightly edited.
First of all, it went over 2 hours.
By like 4 minutes.
Still, to me, great comedies are like 90 minutes long. You get your laughs in, and you're out.
Like, say, Wet Hot American Summer?
How long is that movie?
About 90 minutes.
Okay. You think that's a great comedy?
Yeah, I do. I also thought the TV show based around it, The First Day of Camp, the prequel by Netflix, which I saw all 8 episodes on Friday, was excellent.
I'm just saying, like, you know, it to me, it's, I always find 90, you know, you can go maybe a minute 45, but once you get 2 hours and more, not to say you can't have a 2-hour comedy, but once it hits the 2-hour mark, you are making a mistake because Judd Apatow, right? He's like, his movies, they're funny. Then they hit that point. They hit that point where it becomes melodramatic and serious in tone. And, you know, it has been one of the better ones he's done in a long time, because this is 40. Man, that wasn't even a comedy. That wasn't even a story. That was just...
I did not care for This Is 40.
That was just two people talking about how being over 40 sucks.
Oh, no. Whatever. The movie, that was just a poor movie. Except for the parts of Melissa McCarthy. That I liked. But the rest of it,
You didn't care about Ted 2, huh?
Well, I haven't seen it. I don't particularly care to see it. If I see it, whatever. If I don't, whatever as well. It's like, if I see it, fine. If I don't see it, that's fine too. What the fuck ever.
Dag, man. What Ted ever do to you?
I like the first Ted movie. I'm just not really sure I need a sequel to Ted.
You know, sorry, I had to chew something real quick. They changed the storyline to Ted 2.
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
Because they was going to do a road trip where they had to smuggle weed across the country. Sorry. But, where the Millers came out, so.
Okay.
Was the same story.
I was not aware.
Well, you didn't see Weird the Millers, huh?
No, I saw Weird the Millers. I'm just not too sure as to that's why the storyline of Ted 2 was changed.
Well, that's what he said.
Okay. What, McFarlane said that?
Yes.
Okay, well then, fuck me.
Yeah, he could have been talking shit, but...
Possibly. Just like, many people can call in and talk shit about us if they want to. Ah, segue. Here at the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, it's just not me and Surfer that can talk about comic books and all the related news. It's you as well, and there are several ways in which you can join us. First thing you can do is pull up your telephone. Cell phone, smartphone, flip phone, rotary phone, landline, smoke signal, whatever. And call the number 215-253-4516. I'm going to repeat that again. 215-253-4516. You can also join us on Skype by calling and or adding a contact. SilverSurfer_forever, all lowercase to help out your search. Or you can join me, Surfer Stanley Kubrick, Nobody and several others in the chat room by typing your thoughts out at www.rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live. It is also at rantemradio.com/chatlisten-live that you can listen to all our fine programming live on the air. And if you're unable to, well, that sucks. But you can come by the same web address and listen to all the shows on repeat, or you can do it at your own convenience on Stitcher Internet Radio, Geek Life Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, the almighty iTunes. Go to iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcast section. Subscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave a review. That would be helping us out greatly. Another way you can help us out greatly, since this shit ain't cheap, is on the Listen Live chat room page. There's a little bit of a donate button, PayPal, which you can help us out there. Or you can also click on the giant logo for the upcoming Mega Slam. You can order your t-shirts. Yeah. Where you can order your t-shirts for the event happening on the very same weekend here on Rant Entertainment Media Radio as SummerSlam. You're not going to want to miss that.
You can watch Reigns get his ass kicked like he's fighting Ronda Rousey.
Oh, topical.
I'm just saying, somebody needs to do it.
I would not mind Ronda Rousey throwing me around a bedroom, just saying. So you can do all that, or buy a t-shirt.
I could take Ronda Rousey.
We're gonna get to how implausible that is in a second. Donate directly to PayPal or buy a t-shirt. You'll be helping us out greatly. Also, you're high and delusional.
I ain't scared of no Ronda Rousey. She's a girl, okay?
Ain't no she girl. She has like 100 pounds on you, all of a sudden.
No, she don't.
Okay, you have. If you have 100 pounds on her, she's still gonna kick your ass.
Nope. I'm a manly man, okay?
Okay, you know what? Being the heralder for Galactus don't mean shit all the time.
Mm-mm. I could last 2 seconds with her. She wouldn't lay a glove on me.
2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's like your best estimate.
I'm just saying, she couldn't take me down. I could go a minute. No problem. Because I'm the man. And you can call her up and tell her that, too.
All right, let me search for my phone real quick.
But anyway, I guess we ought to. I got a couple things I want to do in order.
Yeah.
Before we do all the news and stuff, let's get the sad part out of the way first.
Yeah. All right.
Lost another legend this week. This time, even though this person is not. He was a wrestler, of course. It was Roddy Piper. Passed away this week at age 61. And the reason why we bring it up, because even though he was a wrestler, he did some things that relate to what we talk about. Because he was an actor. You know, he dipped his toe into Hollywood and did some movies and TV shows. Born April 17th, 1954. And his real name was Roderick George Toombs. So, what are the things he's known for outside the ring as far as TV and movies? Well, he did John Carpenter's They Live in 1988. Classic movie. Highly recommend you see it.
If you haven't, then shame on you.
He was on the Zorro TV show between 1990 and 91. He did a guest spot on Superboy in 92. He did a movie in Mortal Kombat in 1994. That was straight to DVD. He also made an appearance on the RoboCop TV show in 94. He did a voice on the Green Lantern and Emerald Knights movie video in 2011. He did Adventure Time in 2014. What are you about to say?
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's not comic booky, is it?
All right, fine.
I know it's popular amongst you geeks and nerds and stuff, but anyway, they don't list it on IMDb, but I know he voiced some Robot Chicken. So yes, he has appeared on Robot Chicken, and of course he was a superstar, legend of wrestling, you know, much hated and liked heel in his face. Known for some notorious things in and out the ring, not out the ring as far as personal life, but outside the ring, what it has to do with wrestling. So, you know, it's a sad thing.
This one just really hurts. So we will now take a moment of silence for Rowdy Roddy Piper.
WWE.
Wait a minute. And they'll most likely do a tribute to him tomorrow night on Raw at 8 p.m. 7 Central on USA Network, if you're interested in tuning in for that. So, and if you have the network, they'll probably have something after Raw at around 11:15. So, at some point this week if they don't have anything Monday. But more than likely they'll have something tomorrow night, so, you know. Been a rough year for wrestlers, hasn't it?
We live in a world without Dusty Rhodes and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And Hulk Hogan Hulk Hogan died on us too.
This world sucks.
I mean, three wrestlers died on us in a month's time. I can't believe this. But anyway, box office news, because we have to keep it light and cheerful.
All right, let's do some box office.
Ant-Man, third place this week with $12.6 million. Domestic totals up to $132 million. Minions brought in $12.2 million. Its domestic total is $287 million because Minions rule. Adam Sandler's train wreck of a movie, Pixels, brought in another $10 million for a disappointing $45 million. That's about half his budget, so that's a failure. Would Mission Impossible be considered a comic book movie, you think, Jordan?
Not really, but I still think it's awesome.
You saw it?
I like the film series from 3 up, and I'm also a big fan of the original TV show.
I don't like 3.
God, what is wrong with you?
I thought 3 just didn't seem Mission Impossible at all.
Can you at least acknowledge that fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman was the best villain?
I don't have a problem with him. It's just that it started off Mission Impossible. You know, they doing their little caper and all, putting on the fake mask, you know. But then it just became the Tom Cruise show, and then the part where he had to go into that building and get that device, he didn't even see it. Like, he runs into the building, and then he runs out the building. And it's like they just left out a whole scene of him trying to retrieve that particular device. And then, you know, so. And then at the end, it just came down to him and his wife and the rest of the team just, like, disappeared. Like, they didn't exist no more, so.
Yep.
Alright, well, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, no surprise, was number one at $56
million. Yeah! I haven't seen it yet. I plan on it.
It's not better than Ghost Protocol, but it's entertaining enough. Inside Out came in ninth place with $4.5 million. That's up to $329 million worldwide. Terminator Genesis is down to 12th place. It's only brought in $87 million. Domestic, that's a failure. Magic Mike doesn't count.
But I'm pretty sure we have several fans that appreciate the gyrating love of Channing Tatum's hips.
Tomorrowland failed. It only made $92 million, and its budget was $190 million, which is sad and not sad, because I liked it, but I didn't like it enough so I can see where it would come up short as far as making money. And, of course, the message in there was heavy-handed. I didn't see a Lego brickumentary, but that brought in $42,000. So, I would be interested in seeing that. So, those are box office numbers that we care about for the week. Tune in next week to see if there's more box office
and movies. Yeah, because we got one more movie this summer we have to heavily talk about.
Look, I just got an email. Don't miss the exclusive sneak peek. Tune in tomorrow night. That was yesterday. Why am I getting an email today?
What are you talking about?
I got an email saying tune in Saturday, August 1st at 12 a.m. during Dragon Ball Z for an exclusive exclusive sneak peek of the Dragon Ball Z movie. Why am I just getting it now?
I don't know. Talk about that off the air, man.
I'm not asking. I'm just saying. What is this? Anyway, see, you know what, man? I listen to your problems, and you don't listen to mine.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just thought, like, hey, that's some off air shit.
It's Dragon Ball. We do Dragon Ball.
All right. Okay. Fair point, since I'm pretty sure we have a lot of Dragon Ball fans.
Okay. Now, the next thing on my agenda, because I have an agenda, is a book review. Okay?
Comic book? Or no. You mean book with words?
Let me explain to you. Okay? Now, I got a sample book from the fine people who put me in a story. And they sent me a sample book to look over. And so now I want to tell you about it real quick, Jordan. So you got your snack? You got your drink?
I have my pillow.
Okay. So the book I got is Avengers Black Ops Field Guide, which is a customized book for the child of your, choosing. And I got this custom made to a certain person that special to me. Alright, so what you do is you go on putmeinastory.com and you look for, and they have more than just the Avengers book, but I got the Avengers book, so
my copy.
I don't know. But let me explain it. Okay, so you give them the child's information, upload a photo, and then when the book comes, his name is in the book. It's on the cover. He's an official SHIELD agent. Inside is a page with a cutout SHIELD card with his picture. And on the back is a decoder so he can send secret messages to people. And you can get a personalized message. And inside the book, it tells you how to read the decoder. You get a message from Nick Fury, director of SHIELD. And then, of course, you get a mission brief. It explains about the different, the power grid keys and power levels and, how to decipher the book. So then you get to learn about different characters. Now, the first one is Ant-Man. But guess which Ant-Man this is?
Hank Pym.
Nope.
Scott Lang.
Nope.
Eric O'Grady.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, what can you say? But
that's.
I guess okay, when go on, I go guess. On. You get the Black Widow, of course. Cap.
Natasha.
Doctor Strange, Falcon. nice standard artwork that these characters are known for. Hawkeye, the Hawk. But not just heroes. Iron Man. You get Loki in here. MODOK. That MODOK, I tell you, man. They love MODOK, don't they?
Okay. Well, to be fair. MODOK is amazing.
Thanos, of course, you know, the biggest bad of bads. Thor.
Yeah, he ain't no MODOK.
Ultron. And the Vision. So you get a lot of the people that was in the movies this year, which is of course the Avengers and Ant-Man. Who's missing from this book? Which villain is missing from this book, if you want to talk about the baddest of bad villains?
The greatest villain ever, Doctor Doom.
Yeah, well, we know why, but yeah, so, and then of course,
Doom does not approve.
Of course, they give you a couple of pages so your agent can fill in his power grids and see what he's capable of, and he's a nice little interactive book. And on the back it says, "Welcome to Shield Academy. This is your field guide to the superpower individuals of the world. Inside your ID cards and instructions for your first mission as an agent of Shield. Good luck," and it gives the guy's name. And the book retails, I believe it's $34, but I'm not quite sure on the price. So, but look it up on the website, people. But I this is something I wish I had when I was a little kid, because I would read this over and over and draw and color in it. And so, the Black Ops Field Guide for Upcoming SHIELD Agents by Marvel and the Avengers. So, have I convinced you, Jordan, to order one? Yes, right?
What's the price?
I believe, let me check the web. I had the website open.
Because that's the thing, you always got to mention.
I thought it said it was $34.
Oh, that much?
I could be wrong, but but it sounds good, right? Something you would want for yourself, right?
Or maybe something I could give to my nephew.
Yeah, exactly. You know, get him, on a straight and narrow early in life.
My older brother's already doing that with the huge comic collection
uncles can do it too, you know.
Look, I'm gonna help make sure that kid, by the time he speaks, is able to remember.
It is $34.99.
So $40.
So that, I believe that includes shipping, and there are other stuff you can get, you know. But you want, you know, we superhero stuff. We want the superheroes. So, you know, personalized books for the kids. Now. Anyway.
Yes. Let us get on to the news. Thank you for that, sir.
You know what? I'm stopping the show because I want to read this book again. Yeah, oh, man, it's such a good book. You don't mind, do you? I mean,
put the show. I kind of do.
Well, you know, you're old enough not to have your mind hurt you, so. I mean, I run the show here, and this book is calling me. You know, I want to do his activities and, you know, be an Avenger. But anyway.
You take that book into the shower with you?
No, because first of all, it'd get wet.
And second, put it in a plastic bag.
No, you can't read through a plastic bag. Anyway. I'm gonna take care of the first story and then I'm gonna let you take over. Because there's been two stories that came out this week, conflicting stories. First one came out that Channing Tatum walked away from playing Gambit. And then a day or two later, he signed on to play Gambit.
Like just yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
This was reported back about Tuesday. It's only just now that he's signed on.
So he was probably taking them for their money. You know, he's probably like, they were probably like, well, look, Channing, you know, we can only give you, the prorated amount. He's like, no, damn it, I'm Channing Tatum. I get full price. And they said, well, sorry you feel that. He said, okay, well, I'll see you at Magic Mike 3. And he said, whoa, wait a minute. We just kidding. We need you as Gambit. So, don't you think that's how that went?
Maybe. Who knows?
So, possibly. So what is the main story, though, as far as him signing?
He's officially signed on. Right. Initially, he was... initially, it was reported he had more or less folded at the table and walked away. With production now officially more so set for this October to help get the release, meet the release date of next October. There was no word whether it said like, you know, he's not playing anymore, but there was no word whether or not if he was still going to be producing with his producer and writing partner from the Magic Mike films and longtime friend, whose name is escaping me at this moment. But now it seems that Tatum is signed on to keep producing and starring in the movie now. And another news that Lea Zedoe from Blue is the Warmest Color and the upcoming Spectre film has screen tested with Tatum for the female lead of the movie.
Speaking of Spectre, didn't that trailer drop this week?
That was last week.
Oh, last week? Oh, okay.
That was last week and I lost my goddamn monkey mind.
Because of Batista, huh?
No, because James Bond. Batista just happened to be there.
Dang, man. First The Rock, now Batista. Who would have thought Batista could make a successful acting career? I sure didn't. Did you?
No, I didn't think that. I just as much as I didn't suspect the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, I saw that shit coming.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you saw the Spanish Inquisition. Like, how far did you see the Spanish Inquisition coming?
Hey, Pastor Sedell's in the chat room. Well, you know, I saw Mel Brooks' History of the World. So I knew it was coming.
Okay. So. Welcome, Pastor. Glad he's taking time out of his busy day today. Sunday and all.
He's blessing this show.
Okay, you. So next story is something I've been seeing around my Facebook and plenty of other places that is now being cleared up. A editorial on comicbookmovie.com that said why the Killing Joke must be erased, and if you take a good goddamn look at it, it is a piece of some unfunny satire. People, this was written by site editor Mark Cassidy saying, have any of us really gotten over the events in 1998? Yes, the year marked a heinous, disgraceful, downright reprehensible, crippling, and possibly, well, hey, let's make it probable, sexual assault of Barbara Gordon at the hands of Gotham's most infamous bad guy, Joker. It basically went on to say about, you know, should we erase this, you know, or other examples of other examples of
it is kind of racist.
Real life slash victimization of violence against mild discomfort suffered by women and detailed various forms of fiction and went on to list a bunch of things that does have that. But again, just read it clearly. It's not real, guys. It's just satire that's not really well done. And I've been seeing people having a wild amount of reactions all over Facebook, and one that didn't realize it was satire, but had a good point about, you know, even if it isn't. But it's getting out now, and I feel like if anyone in the audience of ours have read it, that it needs to be clarified. It's just satire. It's not real good satire.
Well, I don't, you know, it's a popular story. Nobody's gonna make it go away. They're making a movie out of it.
Yeah. Which, speaking of which, is now official that Mark Hamill is gonna be the voice of the Joker. So obvious news is obvious.
How could he not? And of course, you gotta bring back Kevin Conroy,
is not confirmed yet.
Listen, that the guy that's been playing Batman the last few movies, he ain't getting it. I mean, he's okay.
Yeah, I like Jason Amara.
I mean, he's okay for these movies, but if you're doing this particular story, and who did Dark Knight Returns?
That was Frank
He was the older guy, okay.
Peter Weller.
Peter Weller.
RoboCop.
And who did year one?
Commissioner Gordon, Ben McKenzie.
Okay, I can see him doing it, but yeah, you gotta bring back
Connery,
because to voice Batman. I mean, like I said, the other guy, he's okay for what they've been doing lately, but he ain't gonna work for a Killing Joke. And so this won't be a Batman storyline they haven't done. They've done the Death of Robin. They've done Dark Knight. They've done Year One. Now they're doing Killing Joke. The only thing, they've done Arkham, right?
Well, they did a game within the Arkham game franchise.
They didn't do a movie based on the Arkham Asylum story
by Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Well, I guess that'll be down the pike at some point.
Who knows?
And then they'll do Batman R.I.P. one day.
Let's not do that.
You know you want
that story doesn't make any goddamn sense in book form. How much more sense could it make in an animated movie?
Hey, you know what? Everybody thought that Flashpoint was going to be a good movie because the book wasn't that good and the movie was fantastic. So you never know.
How about no to Batman R.I.P. is a movie? Don't care about it.
Oh, Jordan. Should I get an Anthem Arkham City for Wii U? Is Arkham City on a Wii U? Because I'll go buy me a Wii U tomorrow.
There is a version of it on Wii U.
Okay. Okay.
Arkham Knight? Oh, hell no.
Now, I don't know if this next storyline is real or not, because the place who posted it, you know, I see these headlines, and I don't always believe them. And I think it's just there to get views. But it's supposed to have been a leaked cast list. Did you see that?
Of Spider-Man?
Yes.
Yeah. That's been taken down damn near everywhere.
Well, one place still got it up. So, people, we're going to tell you real quick. But, yeah, don't repeat this. And you didn't hear this from us, okay? So, of course, they got Tom Holland as Peter Parker. Billy Zane's supposed to play the Vulture. Adrian Toomes. Jason Biggs as the Scorpion. You know that'll make people's heads explode. Now, those two are not confirmed according to this list. Okay, Aunt May's Marissa Tomei, so she's sexy Aunt May. Robert Downey Jr. is supposed to show up as Tony Stark. Rachel G. Fox is supposed to play Mary Jane Watson, but that's in final negotiations. Timothy Chalamet, is that Chalamet?
Chalamet.
Yes, is in negotiations to play Harry Osborn. Sammy Gale is Liz Allen. Jacob Lattimore is in talks to play Flash Thompson. Now, it's another thing gonna make Flash heads explode, because Flash Thompson would be black. Hugh Laurie. In final negotiations to play J. Jonah Jameson. Why don't they just bring back dude, you know, J.K. Simmons. He's always going to be J. Jonah Jameson. Foss Whitaker is in talks to play Robbie Robertson. Miranda Cosgrove is Betty Brant. And Ned Leeds. They thinking of Tyler Posey. So, this looks seems bogus to me.
Yeah, it looks. You know how many things can be doctored now on the internet? Like that Spider-Man, supposed Spider-Man post-credit scene after Age of Ultron. That was so elaborately put together for a fake.
What post-credits scene?
Okay, you didn't hear the story about how supposedly there was a leak on a camera phone of a post-credits scene at the end of Avengers, Age of Ultron, where it's Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, no. That was a rumor. It never showed up.
Well, yeah, but, you know, again, even the people who made it was like, okay, we gotta release a video. They released a video showing how they doctored it.
Uh-huh.
How they made it, and even made it look like it was shot on a shitty camera phone in a theater.
Now, okay, Jason Biggs, who knows? He could probably pull off playing the Scorpion.
Even though that's one of the major reasons I'm calling bullshit
but,
on this
you
list.
You know, that would just cause a lot of... Lot of pain amongst the fan base.
Because when I think Scorpion, I think of the one. I think of Piper's husband from Orange is the New Black.
Who's Piper's husband?
Larry, who was played by Jason Biggs.
Orange
is the New Black?
No, I don't have Netflix, unless you want to, you know. But we've already discussed it. So, but anyway.
Moving on.
I think of the Scorpion as like an older person, you know? Matt Garland, he's an older guy. Now, like I said, you never know. He could knock that out of the park if it's true. This Rachel G. Fox and Mary Jane Watson, not hot enough, but, you know, okay. Okay. Hugh Laurie, yeah, he would bring a good job as a J. Jonah, you know, but just go back to J.K. Simmons, man. Just go back to him.
It's not gonna happen, and you know it.
Miranda,
as much as I would like that, I'm facing up reality.
Miranda
Cosgrove,
yes. What would she have, like 2 minutes in the movie? You need to cast her. To play, it's like the original Spider-Man. Like, who played Betty Brant?
Elizabeth Banks.
Right. She was like, all she did was say, "Hey, Peter," and they paid somebody of her stature a lot of money just to do that. You don't need to do that.
I would.
You know what I mean? Come on, man. You eating your dessert on the air? I heard that.
A piece of ice fell into my mouth. I'm just chewing
on. Uh huh.
Well, you could hear that?
Yes.
Hey, well, shit, my mic's too good. Anyway, speaking of Spider-Man, it appears Tom Holland has already shot his cameo as Spider-Man for Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, he probably ain't gonna do much. He probably just swing in. They'll say, "You gotta register." He'll be like, "No, I can't. I gotta protect Aunt May," and he'll run off.
Well,
and then they'll be like, after him.
Well, the extent of his appearance is yet to be officially disclosed, but John Francis Daly and Goldstein, who were announced last week as being the official writers of the upcoming film, reveal that part of it has been shot. They're going to Marvel Studios this weekend to check it out. Goldstein saying, "We hear good things. We might even get to look at the Spidey suit, which is exciting."
Yeah.
And Goldstein went on to say about the cast list that has been making a round, and said, "We've discussed certain characters, but nothing is certain yet, for sure."
Now, would you feel cheated if all they did was just have him swing in the background, and that was it?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm not going to let that determine how I feel. Okay, honestly, I don't know. It'll depend how I'm feeling about the movie, even though... Really, I'm just gonna be caring about the movie. I'm gonna be there looking out for the movie. I'm not gonna be trying to look out for one specific thing. If it's that, whatever. Hey, I still maybe got a good movie out of it. Whatever. If it's something else.
Shout out to Double A. He's listening to his undisclosed location, like he always does. You know.
Good.
Because he knows that he's slowly but surely getting into comic books, and he don't want to admit
it. Boss man.
He don't want to admit it, but we've weakened him. We've weakened him. Okay? So, we're coming for you, Double A. We're coming for you. Nothing you can do about it. Just face the inevitability of it.
Okay? Inevitable.
Yeah, I know. I said it the way I wanted to say it. Inevitability. Inevitable. See? I can say it. Anyway, you know what? I've lost our run sheet page. Got to bring it back up. What's the next story you want to go with?
Hold on. Okay. So, let's get to some comic book TV news, starting with Supergirl. For Sons of Anarchy's Chris Browning has been casted as Reactron.
You know, when they make these announcements, right? Are they already filmed these episodes, or they hire? That's when they're hiring these people, and they're going to film an episode with this person in it, or they're just letting us know who's going to be in the season little by little, and the season's done.
What do you think? I don't know.
I don't know either. But yeah, they bring in a lot of different villains and guest stars for Supergirl. What's CBS does as far as this particular show? Because, you know, see if they put a lot of effort into it or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah. By the way, Reactron is Ben Kroll in DC Comics and uses a nuclear-powered suit to menace Metropolis.
And, you know, of course, Supergirl doesn't have many villains, right? She doesn't have many enemies.
Well, not too many, but she's got some.
So mostly, I guess she'll be fighting Superman villains that are lesser known.
But possibly, not, or some.
Not the Metallos and stuff like that, you know.
Or parasites.
Yeah, they'll leave that out. But I'll be impressed if Superman shows up, okay? If they got the balls to bring Superman in for an episode or two.
Superman. Well, the Superman family kind of shares a lot of the same villains, don't they?
Well, you know, whatever he can do, she can do.
Okay. Well, also, Night Nurse is heading over to... Night Nurse is being called on by Doctor Strange.
Now, this is a different Night Nurse from the one we got in Daredevil. Because they're doing... What is the character name they're doing?
Linda Carter.
What?
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter, yes. Wonder Woman.
No, not Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Linda Carter's Wonder Woman.
No, not that Linda Carter.
I know.
Okay, I was trying to do a whole bit with you. Okay, fine.
Okay, now listen. Here's the question I want to know from you, okay?
What?
Should the person who plays Night Nurse be, like, real thin or sexy and voluptuous?
I don't care about that.
No, see, the reason why I ask, because, like most of the time, Night Nurse is drawn, like, the way she looked back in the day, like, in the 60s. And so she's not, like, super built, like most females are in comic books. You know, she's, you know, small in frame. And some people get upset when, you know, artist comes along and gives her big breasts and a round bottom and make her voluptuous. So, where do you fall at? If you have a choice.
I don't have a body type perception.
Okay, come on. Make it, come on, make it.
Okay,
decision.
Fine, you put a gun to my head, fine. Just a regular bodied person, there, thin.
Okay.
Shit. I have no real preference.
Why are you cursing?
Because I'm an adult.
Yeah, but this is a family show. Kids are listening.
I'm pretty sure they've heard worse.
Okay,
I want to get to the story.
Double A says a lot of male nurses now. I think he wants the job, but
whatever. Hey, if he wants, if that's his passion, go for it, boss. At the TCA, Steven and I, who was the showrunner on Daredevil Season 1, revealed that future MCU plans on Rosario Dawson's character, you know, Claire Temple. Although the character was initially planned to be Linda Carter, it seems Carter will be appearing in the Doctor Strange movie. And the Linda Carter character had her own series in the 1970s and was reintroduced to the Marvel Universe on Bendis' run of Daredevil.
Why not just use one night nurse and use the one from Daredevil? You know, so you get it looks like the TV and the movie universe does tie in. The Netflix universe does tie into to the movies. You know. Because right now, it's all standalone. Unless, you know, Charlie Cox shows up in Civil War, it's a different universe.
Just maybe, you know. I agree. But they want to use different night nurses to different stories. Go ahead.
Well, you know who they haven't said they casting yet or going to have in the movie? Clear. It's like she being like forgotten in all this because they might be making Night Nurse the love interest, but poor Clear. I've always liked her.
I like Claire.
Claire?
Yeah, I said Claire.
No, I said Clear.
No, okay. Well, I misunderstood.
You know who Clear is, right?
Remind me.
She was Doctor Strange's woman and apprentice for many, many years. And she was from another dimension. And she hasn't been around in a long time. But she was an essential part of the book along with Wong, you know? So it seemed like they forgot all about her. Anyway, sad. Have you seen the two videos for Guardians of the Galaxy, Jordan?
What?
The two videos for Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, this animated show?
Yes.
No, I haven't seen them.
There are two videos, I posted them on Facebook, where it shows young Peter Quill, just after he's been abducted by the space pirates, and he's on the ship, and he's panicking, of course. And he doesn't know who these creatures are, and he has his little elemental gun. And he thinks that he thought it was a toy all this time, and he finds out it's not a toy. And, he's trying to get away. And at the end of the first episode, he gets sucked out in space. He gets rescued, and then you meet Yondu, who's telling him, yeah, they've never seen a Terran before. They don't know what he tastes like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know. He's like, yeah, I'll keep you safe. So you got to keep up on these things. You got to watch it. You all going to be watching Guardians of the Galaxy, right?
I'll check it out.
Okay.
I mean, you're forcing me to watch Gotham Season 2, so fuck you on that.
Here we go, man. You know, just saying that language. Come on now. That boy's listening.
Okay, fine. You're making me watch Gotham Season 2, so shove a pine cone where the sun don't shine.
That don't help either. It looks like Tron no longer wants to do Tron movies. Sad people. Why am I blanking on his first name? Let me bring it up real quick. Legendary actor, and I don't mean legendary like he's great, but we've seen him in a lot of stuff. Is his name first name John or
Bruce?
Oh, Bruce, yeah, okay. Bruce
Boxleitner
says he's done playing Tron movies and don't want to be a part of it anymore, which is, of course, is no good because now nobody wants to do the Tron movies, We're not getting a third Tron movie. They did the cartoon, which didn't last long. Because, and it's funny, people that watch the cartoon like the cartoon, but nobody watched the cartoon. What did you ever watch the cartoon?
No, not really.
You just had no interest?
That, and I just never quite knew when it was on. Yeah, that I was didn't the other that online. I was just doing other stuff.
That was the other thing too. I mean, I had set my DVR for it, and it still wasn't recording regularly. So that just like muffed me. So it just seemed like Disney didn't put a lot of effort into it. So and speaking of movies that not happening. We've talked about this before, and for some reason, stories like this keep popping up. The Crow movie is halted.
Again.
I've said it before. You know, I'm not going to believe a Crow movie until I see something from it.
Okay, you're not going to believe it until they show an actual productions photo.
No, until I see like a trailer or something. That's when I will believe there's a Crow movie being done. You know, and how hard is there to make a Crow movie? Let's be honest. I mean, guy dies, comes back to life, gets his revenge. So, for whatever reason, let's not even talk about it no more, okay?
Well, let's talk about some other TV news. Arrow is adding Ryan Robbins as a Shadow Sphere villain for the fourth season. Ryan's from such things as Apollo 18, Falling Skies, and The Killing is being casted as a major antagonist in the upcoming fourth season. A sadistic character named Conklin. Conklin. Who serves as a member of the criminal organization Shadow Sphere in flashback sequences, making his first appearance in episode 3. Oliver Queen will face off against Conklin, as well as the group's leader, Baron Reiter, aka Baron Blitzkrieg, who we announced last week was being played by Johnny Akingbola. In the flashbacks.
A lot of villains showing up for Arrow and Flash this season.
A lot, yes they are.
But you gotta have a villain every week, so.
That means we're gonna get Mirror Master soon, and I'm pretty excited about that, because I love Mirror Master. Speaking of villains and shows, it appears Luke Cage is getting a confirmation on one villain it's gonna use, Cornell Cottonmouth.
That sounds a little racist, wouldn't you say?
It's a bit racist, yeah. You've read Luke Cage comics of Cornell Cottonmouth in it, right?
No, that's the one person I can't say that I'm familiar with.
Okay, well, Cornell Cottonmouth is a drug lord, and he also has some superhuman strength, which means he can actually go toe-to-toe with Luke Cage in a physical one-on-one fight, fisticuffs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, fight scenes with Luke Cage, because, you know, okay, Daredevil, you know, that's fighting skills, but now you're talking Luke Cage, you know, he's supposed to be a pretty strong guy, like, can pick up, throw cars and stuff, so yeah. How are they going to pull that off, or are they just going to have him just be stronger than the average person, where he can not do doubt, but, you know, can't, like, stop a car or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Continuing in Marvel TV casting news, Blair Underwood will be back for season 3 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Agent May's ex-husband.
Yeah, good old Blair Underwood. You know what his first role was, right?
I'm trying to remember.
His first movie?
Okay, tell me.
Crush Groove. He played Russell Simmons.
Oh, shit. I never seen that.
You ever saw Crush Groove?
No.
You lose hip-hop points. Crust Groove is the hip hop movie of the 80s. You know, you had Run DMC, the Fat Boys, Curtis Blow.
Oh, well, shit, Fat Boys, that's all you had to say.
Sheila E. I mean, this movie was the bomb back in the day. I mean, it's a lousy movie when you look back on it. But when it came out, we thought it was just great because it was all these hip-hop stars in one movie. And, of course, Russell Simmons can't act. And they didn't want him doing a love scene with Sheila E., so they brought in an actor, Blair Underwood, to play Russell Simmons.
Huh.
And the Fat Boys did All You Can Eat. In fact, you have heard Fat Boy songs, right?
I've heard of the Fat Boys. I'm very aware of who the Fat Boys are.
But have you heard the music?
Yeah, I owned a cassette tape of the Fat Boys.
Oh, okay. Oh, rocking the cassette.
Yeah.
Did you see Disorderlies?
Yes, I saw Disorderlies. I saw it as a kid, and one time at one time with my film pals at UCA, we got like hammered one night, and it was like, "What do we want to play? Hey, Orderlies! Let's watch Orderlies!" Yeah.
See, they thought they did a good job in Crust Groove, so somebody thought, "Hey, let's give them their own movie."
And then Is that how that happened?
Yeah, and then they did Disorderlies, and they said,
"No,
all
downhill from there."
No, they don't got it.
No, that was holy shit. Yeah, that's bringing back some memories. Okay, so the other person joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is upcoming Emmy-nominated actress Constance Zimmer. Zimmer is set to play the head of a mysterious new government agency that will cross paths with S.H.I.E.L.D. as both seek out new Inhumans following the events of the previous season. The agency head will act as the principal antagonist to Agent Coulson and might be more than his match, though it's unclear if she'll turn out to be a friend or foe. Jeff Loeb said in the casting, with casting this role, we needed someone that could go toe-to-toe with Coulson. Constance brings a level of wit and spark to the role we could have only dreamed of, and we're beyond excited to add her to our already stellar cast going through the new season. And apparently, Marvel fans can expect Lash, along with several other characters inspired by the Secret Warriors, to play a prominent role in the upcoming third season when it debuts this fall.
Sounds interesting.
Yes. Speaking of Marvel news, with Marvel.
Oh, sorry. Don't mean to cut you off, but there was something else I meant to do earlier in the show, so I might as well get this out of the way. You know, we not only want to talk about sad news, we want to talk about happy news too. We want to wish a happy birthday to Franklin. Turned 47 this week. Franklin from the Peanuts, people, turned 47. Show Charlie Brown that he can get along with a black person.
Woo!
Now, of course, I feel sorry for Franklin because there's no other black people in the neighborhood. And
well, that just means he's going to be a standout star in the upcoming movie. He's going to steal the show.
Well, he got more speaking roles in the, from the video they put out this week. It seems like he has more speaking roles in his movie than he ever had in the TV show. Because he was just, hey, it's Franklin, people, and that was it. He just appeared on camera most of the time. That was all. He said one or two lines, but didn't really talk a lot. So Franklin getting his come up. I know a lot of big Franklin fans out there, you know. Aren't you a Franklin fan, Jordan?
Franklin's cool.
Okay.
Marvel and Netflix, the Netflix CCO, Ted Stranahan, said recently at the Television Critics Association about their plans for Marvel series. He said, "I think ideally there will be a rhythm of about every 6 months you'll get a new season or a new series from the Defenders group. And then they'll cross over into a combined Defenders season once we've launched the first season of each of the characters." He didn't get specific on who besides Daredevil, but said some will selectively have multiple seasons as they come out of the gate. So they'll probably be launched. So they'll probably be two launches a year. Stupid pop-up video on this article. Jessica Jones is still filming for its late debut later this year, and of course we have a showrunner for Luke Cage. No word on Iron Fist yet, and Daredevil season 2 is currently underway in filming in New York.
You know, I don't really like they calling it the Defenders. Why could they make it Heroes for Hire? I mean, the Defenders.
I agree. Well, especially because you got Luke and Danny there.
The Defenders is Doctor Strange and Namor
and the
Hulk and Silver Surfer. That's the Defenders.
I agree with that, but however they want to go with it, call them the Defenders. Sure. All right. Okay, sorry. Speaking of Netflix, there's a rumor going about. You know those pesky little rumors?
Yeah, I hate those things.
Yeah, there were some mosquitoes. But without them, we wouldn't have a show. Much of a show. Half a show. Anyway, it's reported that Disney's planning multiple live-action Star Wars shows on Netflix.
How much of that do you actually believe?
Not too much. Jordan Mason reported this. That Disney's considering as many free live-action Star Wars shows on Netflix, saying, "For Lucasfilm, this makes a lot of sense, as they want to keep the cinematic feel of the movies going with the TV shows. Netflix allows for such a presentation, much better than network television, while also giving them a chance to explore stories and characters which otherwise might not be a good fit somewhere else." I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it too much.
Well, I think, okay, we've been hearing reports of live-action Star Wars now for years.
On TV.
Right. And nothing's come of it. And Netflix may be, you know, it may happen more for Netflix than anything else. But I'm thinking, why would Disney spend all that money and not put it on one of their networks? Why would they put it on Netflix?
I think Netflix might have the better presentation that they're going for with cinematic. I mean, sure, there are some cinematic type shows on network television, but you know, network, you're still going to have some constrictions.
Listen, it's
a budget sometimes.
Okay, listen, Disney owns Marvel, but the stuff Marvel's putting on Netflix, there's no Disney Channel that fits that darker, more mature theme subject matter.
Although I think it would be hilarious to see Daredevil on Disney XD.
But Star Wars, it's not going to get but so dark. You can get away with that on Disney or Disney XD or whatever. So to me, I would think they would put it on one of their own networks. I mean, you're trying to get people to tune into your network, not to another network, so...
Disney would still be involved.
Yeah, it's their property. I'm just saying, why wouldn't they just put it on their own network?
I think Netflix could be good for a Star Wars live-action TV show.
I'm not saying it wouldn't. I'm just saying, why wouldn't they put it on a Disney channel?
I know. Synergy. I think they don't want to constrict the story in terms of its presentation, look, and effects with network television. I think they can get away with a lot more, have a bit of a higher budget to do the stuff they want to do for a live-action Star Wars show on Netflix. I think it's primarily budgetary reasons and convenience. That's what I think.
Okay.
And honestly, the more I think about it, it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is a more logical choice excuse me, for a live-action Star Wars show. Now, again, as you mentioned, there's been talks for ages about a live-action Star Wars television show. At this point, shit or get off the pot. That's the thing. Either get off your ass and do it, or you kind of keep sitting on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So they gotta pull. So if they're looking to pull the trigger now that Netflix might be able to let them have a fully realized version of a Star Wars live action TV show, then even though I could see an upside of it being on one of their networks, like on ABC, advertising. Even though you still get good advertising with tie-ins, cross promotions, Netflix and such, but yeah, I think that kind of makes a bit more of a logical decision to go with Netflix. Now, but again, should I get off the pot at this point with a live-action Netflix show? Because, I mean, come on, you want to do it? Do it.
Yeah, we talking about TV shows. We forgot about another Arrow storyline, which is Stephen Amell. He's being challenged. This man is being challenged, people.
What?
Stardust is calling him out, and Stephen Amell is going to social media to answer him. Now, this is a wrestling, of course. You know, you got Stardust, Cody Rhodes, and he's in a comic book feud with the man that Gravity Forgot, Neville, and you know they're going back and forth, and the WWE is treating it like this is some comic book TV show. But, you know, they even do the graphics like it's a graphic novel and everything. And in the ring Thursday, Cody, after he beat up on R-Truth, told R-Truth, "You have failed the city," which is a quote from Arrow, which Stephen Amell says every week when he takes down villains on Arrow. And as we know, Stardust did get in Stephen Amell's face a few months ago and called him out a few times on air. And it looks like they'll have their little confrontation at SummerSlam. You think Stephen Amell will wrestle, or he'll just come in and hit?
Oh, I think he'll just make an appearance, not fully wrestle, but he'll get involved in the match.
He'll hit him in the face or something.
Maybe come out fully dressed as Green Arrow, hit him in the face with hit Cody in the face with the bow, give Neville the advantage.
Like RoboCop came out with Sting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. Good times, people.
Yeah, I actually explained to a friend of mine who is an Arrow fan, and I was like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "Okay, this ain't kind of nothing new. Let me tell you about the time RoboCop saved Sting from the Four Horsemen."
And it wasn't even the real RoboCop on that. It was the TV RoboCop, wasn't it?
From the live-action TV show? Yeah, I think so. That terrible live-action TV show.
I wouldn't mind another RoboCop TV show if they did it right.
Yeah, it depends. You gotta get the right people behind there.
That could make a good Netflix show.
Oh, hell yeah. Keep R-rated. Keep with the satire, like the satirical feel of the original. I also think that'd make a better remake than, well, the remake that we got, in all honesty.
Yeah, that movie was just devoid of passion and feeling.
Again, that was half. I'm like, okay, you know, when it's trying to be its own thing, it's kind of good. It's interesting enough. But when they try to like to do some callbacks and such, it's like, that's a bit awkward.
Some Marvel news.
Let's go, Marvel.
Marvel has announced that Marvel Universe Live will have a second season. Now, the other Marvel thing got canceled, but the Marvel Live seems to be doing well, that they're going to have a second year of it. I didn't get to go to the Marvel Live tour when it came to town, but hopefully I'll be able to go for the second season. And that's, you know, indoor event where you sit in the state in the arena and you watch their stunts on motorcycles and Loki come out and the Avengers got to stop them. And it said they have entertained over 1 million people, according to a press release. Marvel Live debuted last July, featuring an original story revolving around the Cosmic Cube and dozens of Marvel characters. IGN described the show as loud, flashy, and fun because its acrobatic stunts, motorcycle jumps, and loud pyrokinetic effects. In addition to the second year, the tour will also expand to Europe in 2016. So, Stanley, get ready. Marvel's coming for you. I know Stanley was upset he didn't get it this year. But next year, they're thinking about you over there in Europe. So, you're welcome.
So let's talk a couple news about the DC movieverse.
DC. What about... No, serious. No, just kidding.
So yeah. It appears Chris Pine has finally signed a deal and is going to be playing a Mr. Steve Trevor in the upcoming Wonder Woman movie.
You know, he kind of does fit that character. But yeah. There was also rumor that he was going to play Green Lantern.
Rumors.
Right. So which character do you think he would have been better as?
I think he'd
Hal Jordan or Steve Trevor?
Okay, honestly, I think he's a good fit for both roles.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'll admit, I kind of would have preferred him being cast as Hal Jordan because I think he could have really brought something to that role.
And you think he'll be humorous or they'll make?
I think he'll be humorous. He was actually one of the funniest things on Wet Hot American Summer first day of camp.
I still don't see how they explain like where Steve Trevor would fit into Wonder Woman's life. Like, okay. In the 40s, you know, he was a war hero, and you know everybody has to have a love interest, and Wonder Woman was no different than Superman having Lois Lane, except
after that, Steve Trevor really wasn't much of a love interest.
Right, I'm saying, and Batman having Robin as a love interest, you know,
cheap. You know, and this is coming from someone who likes cheap puns.
Well, you know, there was Vicky Vale and Catwoman.
And Batwoman. Well, the first Batwoman.
Batwoman, yes.
But, well, okay, go ahead.
But, you know, like, why would she give a damn about Steve Trevor today? Now, of course, you could have a Steve Trevor where it's like, okay, they know Wonder Woman is not from... She's not, you know, up on the ways of the world. He's like a liaison for her, you know, to acclimate her into how the rest of the world works because she's clueless in a way. And I can get that. But, you know, if they cast him Chris Pine, he's a love interest.
It seems really in most media adaptations only that he's a major love interest. Because, again... If you read the comics, he's not really that much a love interest to Wonder Woman. He's not, which I like. That's
now, is he in the comic book today?
Oh, right now?
Yes.
Not that I'm aware of. I believe Steve Trevor's still alive. But yeah, again, he's not really much a love interest in the comics, except for early on, and well, I guess whenever a writer kind of dictates it. But really, again, he's barely a love interest. It's really only in say. The 70s TV show and this upcoming movie, or the animated movie, where I thought it really worked because I liked that chemistry between Nathan Fillion and Steve Trevor and Carrie Russell's Wonder Woman, that it worked. But apparently Steve Trevor will be playing a love interest to Gal Gadot's Diana Prince, but also will have a very action-oriented role as well.
Now, of course, in this version of Wonder Woman in the comic book, she never fought in World War II, right?
The current one?
Yes.
Nope.
I think that takes away from her, you know? Like.
No, it didn't. In fact, I barely noticed because I got so caught up in that Wonder Woman series because of how good it was.
So why would she come to the rest? Why would she leave Themyscira in the first place?
Are you... Okay, well, she left to protect one of Zeus, someone, a Zeus love child.
that was being hunted down by some of the Greek gods, and that was causing some shit on Earth. And it spiraled, and the story went down from there. Did you not read that run?
No, I haven't read Wonder Woman since the New 52.
So. I really recommend it. Like, really, just the first 35 issues that were written by Brian Azzarello, because they're amazing.
I understand, like, it's some good work, and like one of the issues is supposed to be like a definitive storyline for her.
It is. I will say it is, because really it's it really adds that really it's probably the best Wonder Woman run next to when Greg Rucka or George Perez or Gail Simone did the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know the other thing I never understood about Wonder Woman.
What?
Okay. At this point, she's supposed to be strong as Superman, right?
Yeah.
Yet, she still fights Cheetah.
Oh, what's your point?
Why would she struggle against Cheetah? If she's as strong as Superman.
You know, some villains look craftier than they look.
No, but...
Well, in this New 52, apparently, Cheetah and Wonder Woman were friends at one point.
Hey, they've always been tied to each other. I'm just saying, like, Cheetah just... She's not as strong, so why would she be
I don't have an answer.
I'm not saying you do. Know. I'm just saying, that's always been inconsistency to... No, it's inconsistency... That Cheetah's her main rival, and Cheetah's not on the strength level as Wonder Woman.
I mean,
if Cheetah fought one Superman, it'd be over in seconds. Yet, it's never over between her and Wonder Woman. So,
well, it's time for the Latino Review Grain of Salt.
Why'd everybody hate Latino Review? But
because they like to make the hugest allegations and really try and get the top of the story when they just... Okay, do I really need to explain this history again?
No.
Jeez. All right, anyway.
To me. I always find the stories to be truthful and insightful.
Okay. Here's how often. Okay, you know, I relate to the
and
the
you know rare
time, okay, hold on. I relate the rare times Latino Review gets something right too. Well, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Okay.
That's how I feel. Now Latino Review is reporting that yet another person will be added into the clown car cast, that is Batman v Superman, and that Jenna Malone will be playing Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, that just seemed like it just like they're just packing in so many people.
Clown car. I repeat, clown car.
Well, this, that movie could be a clown car. I mean, because they seem like they want to do a Justice League movie without rushing into a Justice League movie. But this is just, you know, like I said, this is backdoor Justice League. I mean... Who's not in this movie?
Let's see. Black Lightning isn't. Guy Gardner isn't.
Well, Guy Gardner.
Zatanna isn't in this movie. Dead Man or Swamp Thing aren't.
Yeah. But I'm talking about as far as the core eight people.
Yeah, you asked a question. I'm giving you an answer. But yeah, it's if this man, you know, if this were a sandwich, this movie were if this cast were a sandwich, it would be that comedically tall stat sandwich that Shaggy always eats in Scooby Doo when he's super high and got the munchies.
Shaggy gets high.
I'm sorry to. Well, did you not notice?
No, I did not know that.
I'm sorry for shattering your innocence.
Yeah, you should be.
You know what? Let me make up for that. Here, you like pop-up books?
Yes, I love pop-up books. They're easy to read.
Well, I got a pop-up book for you. And hey, look! It's based off The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Yes, there's going to be an official The Walking Dead, the pop-up book. That is being based more so on the television series. Which is set to feature 5 2-page spreads described as uniquely terrifying, depicting blood-drenched action, and words never fought to describe the likes of Richard Scarry's biggest pop-up book ever. This is being done by Becca Zirkin and David Hallcock as paper engineers, Sally Elizabeth Jackson on the illustration, and Stephanie Danielle on the words. The Walking Dead pop-up book will feature on the show fearsome walkers. Lots of pop-up gore potential there, and depict locations such as Herschel's Farm and Terminus. It'll be published by Insight Editors, who did the Game of Thrones pop-up book. I got a pop-up guide to Westeros, and is set for release this upcoming November 10th. So hey, just in time for Christmas shopping.
I sound you didn't cheer me up. You scared me even more.
No, this is good.
So what happens when it pops up? The blood squirt on you?
No, maybe. I don't know. Read the book.
No, too scary. Here
I am giving you a gift.
Too scary.
Out of the kindness of my heart and money.
No, too scary.
Okay, someone else's money.
Too scary. Sorry.
Fine. I have some news that'll cheer you up, and it's about Doctor Who.
Hold on a second. Hold on there for a second.
What? What am I waiting on?
Who?
Doctor Who.
Who's he? No, go ahead.
You had me wait for that setup.
No. I had to do something real quick.
Okay. Anyway. BBC Worldwide, North America, and Fathom Events are announcing the return of Doctor Who to the big screen for a 2-night special theatrical event, Doctor Who Dark Water / Death in Heaven in 3D. Dark Water and Death in Heaven, of course, being the 2-part season finale to the recent season of Doctor Who. Where the answers about the mysterious Misty and the supposed heaven were answered. Now, these will be presented in Real D 3D and Dolby Atmos sound were available on September 15th and 16th at 7:30 p.m. local time of your time zone, and will feature the Doctor's Medallion, which is a special prequel scene to the first episode of the upcoming 9th season. So there will also be an exclusive interview with Peter Capaldi and Jenna Coleman, hosted by Will Wheaton.
Sorry, what was the dates again?
September 15th and 16th.
You know what, man? Those shows, they sadden me, man.
And, well, hold on. And tickets can now be purchased online visiting www.fathomevent.com or at participating theater box offices.
I mean, because what's it called? Died in that. They didn't have to kill him off.
You mean her?
Who?
Oh, Danny.
Danny, yes.
I like Danny.
And well, Missy's not dead, even though it looked like she died at the end of the season. Because we all knew she wasn't going to really be dead.
No, you gotta keep someone like that around for a while.
You think her and the doctor's gonna fall in love?
I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Because she did call the doctor her man.
Yes. There's even, you could say, some intimacy, like how who played the first Master on the revived series? Shit, why is it?
But back in the day?
Yeah, no. When the no, like in season three of the of Tenet.
Are you talking about the old guy or when he after he regenerated?
After when he regenerated.
It was Sims. John Sims.
Yes. There was even a bit of intimacy in that, like that he weirdly made.
Yeah, because that particular master was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got okay. Well, we're in the home stretch. Okay, USA's getting in the comic book game. USA Network.
USA. USA.
Panda Ring. USA Network has ordered a pilot pickup for the IDW.
Oh, hold up, sorry. Let me cut Pastor Dell was asking what Death in Heaven is about. Is that what you're asking? Basically, I don't know if you.
It's the season finale of Doctor Who.
I don't know if you don't watch Doctor Who, but throughout the season, people were dying, and when they after you know it was dead at the end of the episode, they would end up in a place called some kind of heaven-like. But it turned out in this particular show, heaven wasn't a real place. It was a computer bank that was storing these souls, and you know the person behind it was using them to bring back one of the Doctor's enemy Cybermen. So they had reanimated dead people into robotic killing machines, basically. So Shaggy and Scooby-Doo always had the munchies. What else?
Because they were.
Come on now, kids' cartoons shouldn't be about drugs. I'm just saying. That's why I never liked Scooby-Doo. Never, except for when Scrappy was on there.
Oh fuck, Scrappy!
I like Scrappy.
Scrappy sucks.
Didn't care for Scooby-Dumb much, but
Scrappy sucks. Scrappy sucks.
Scrappy was the only one that had courage.
He had hubris.
I mean, everybody else is running. Scrappy is like, no, but let me at him.
Ugh, Scrappy's a dumbass.
Anyway, so what is next?
As I was saying, USA Network has picked up the IDW comic book, Brooklyn Animal Control.
Have you read that?
No, I never heard. This is the first time hearing of it. The project is written and executive produced by J.T. Petty, David S. Goyer, Rick Jacobs, and David Alpert.
David Goyer.
And IDW Entertainment's David Ozer and Ted Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Animal Control follows the inner workings of the secret subdivision of the NYPD that functions as social services for the city's most unique citizens, werewolves. Delving into the lives of both the case officers and the secretive, highly insular Kelvid Yulif, a community of werewolves living deep in the borough, Brooklyn Animal Control will examine city politics, immigrant communities, and families divided by ambition, secrecy, and tradition. No word yet as to when it's airing or shooting or casting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's how much of this to believe and not to believe, but they're talking about rebooting Shaft again, but this time making it a more comedic take, which is a mistake.
No, you can't do that with Shaft.
Cause Shaft is a bad mother.
Watch your mouth.
I'm talking about Shaft, damn it. Did you know Shaft was originally supposed to be Italian?
I did not know that.
Yeah, like when they greenlit Shaft, he was going to be Italian, right? But then after the success of Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, they decided to make Shaft black and make it into what's now known as a blaxploitation film. Of course, they wasn't called that in when they were originally made, but that's what they eventually came.
You reading the Shaft comic book by Dynamite?
I've read a couple issues.
Shit's real good.
What did you think of the recent Shaft movie?
Oh, the Samuel L. Jackson one?
Yes.
It was okay. I liked it fine.
It was okay, but it had some memorable stuff on there. Like, of course, Christian Bale killing Mekhi Phife. That was wrong. Hitting him over the head with that pole. And then, of course, who can forget the fine acting job of Jeffrey Wright as Peebles? Still to this day, I have friends who think that the person playing that role was Hispanic.
As well as the intimidating scene where he's threatening Christian Bale while taking a shit on the toilet.
And you can hear in the background, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Jesus.
Bloop, bloop.
Stop.
It's so funny, though.
It's so... Why? Why have that? Why?
I don't know, but... Like, okay, look, I can see he's sitting on the toilet and he's talking to the guy.
Yeah, like threatening him. I was like... Yeah.
But to hear that, thing in the background, bloop,
yeah,
bloop.
But to hear that, it's like, God, you just, it kind of takes you out of the scene. Being, well, great, now I know that guy totally took a shit. What the fuck?
You know, I find that disrespectful if you're willing to go to the bathroom in front of me. You know, totally
intimidating him. He's trying to intimidate him.
It ain't intimidating, it's just nasty.
Well, it's both. I got no combination of those two words. But yeah, that scene sucks. Or you could say it's shitty. Thank you! I'm out of here.
You know, if we was another site, that's that sound effect they play when people make jokes like that. I find that so hilarious. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The crowd cheering or crowd booing?
No, the yell, the yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Our last two stories. Battling Boy! I don't know what the fuck this is, but hey, it's comic book related.
Disney Feast directed. If you've seen Big Hero 6, the short in front of that was called Feast. This is an amazing little short about a little dog learning how to eat freaking food.
Go check it out.
And, he's moving on to doing Battling Boy. Who's, what company does Battling Boy?
Well, hold on. Battling Boy is a comic that was published back in 2013, and NPR named it one of the best books of that year. Battling Boy is described as monsters roam through Acropolis, swallowing children into the horrors of their shadowy underworld. Only one man is a match for them, the genius vigilante, Haggard West. Unfortunately, Haggard West is dead. Acropolis is desperate when its salvation comes in the form of a 12-year-old boy demigod. Nobody is more surprised than Battling Boy himself. It's time to meet an electrifying new hero. It's being produced through Brad Pitt's Plan B Entertainment, who is also currently developing Witches, based off from Scott Snyder. And this movie will be produced by Sarah Esberg, Jeremy Kleiner, and apparently the latest draft of the project comes from David Gordon Green and Joss Parkinson, with previous writers on the project including Joss Gattens and Alex Tice.
Now I'm saying, who was the publisher of that particular?
I'm trying to find out. I don't know
It was done by Paul Pope, right?
Yeah, Paul Pope.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was independent, wasn't with any of the companies.
You're thinking self-published?
It's possible.
Okay, that wouldn't be a surprise.
I mean, in today's world, anybody can make their own comic book.
And ain't that grand?
You know, you can publish it online, or you can,
maybe get go help
to Kickstarter and try to.
Yeah, get help from Patreon, Kickstarter, Indiegogo. GoFundMe.
I would start online, put some free content out there and get people interested, and then, you know, maybe move on to one of those downloadable sites like Comixology or something like that, and then move on to, you know, printed book if possible.
Yeah, what I'm saying, most likely self-published.
And speaking of comic books, Hercules.
I knew
getting a new series. You knew I was going to do that?
Yeah.
Because he's Hercules. It's written by Dan Abnett and drawn by what's this person's last name? It's a series by Abnett and Ross. How come Abnett and Lanning has
Luke Ross?
Abnett and Lanning hasn't done anything together in a while, have they?
The last thing they did was that Guardians tie, were those tie-in books for the Guardians movie.
Right. I'm just saying. Like, I've noticed the names have been separate as of late.
Remember, they made an announcement like long ago. It's like, well, we kind of want to go out and, you know, try our own things. Oh, and Battling Boy was published by First Second Books. Anyway, they want to try their own stuff, and so they're doing their own things. Not, it's unsure whether or not they're going to team up in the near future or, you know, something, but it'd be great since Abnett and Lanning are an amazing duo together.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, Hercules is getting a new series. Dan Abnett on writing, Luke Ross on the art. The series is set to debut in November, and the idea of Abnett, who was a longtime fan, said the idea came to me because I was aware I hadn't ever given Marvel's Hercules the sort of consideration it deserved. I love the Marvel Universe and all the characters in it. I think Hercules is a fabulous addition to that, and as you said, there have been some great comics handling him over the years, Bob Layton's in particular. All of them tend to play up the combination of his immense godlike power with a sort of fallibility and buffoonery, which I think works really well. Because of the nature of Secret Wars, I was restricted from using Thor, so I made damn sure that Hercules was part of what I wanted, and I wanted a big powerhouse demigod character. He wasn't in the original Korvac saga, but it made sense to make him one of the key figures here. And he says he's not underwriting Hercules, you know, thinking of him as classic or as a slightly outrageous sandal costume, the beard, the heartly embracing of life and slight buffoonery.
You know, I thought Greg Pak's take on Hercules was fantastic.
I haven't read that.
You haven't read it?
No.
It was great because...
I love Greg Pak. He's one of my favorite writers.
It was him, and he was teamed up with Amadeus Cho, right? And,
okay.
You know, like, you know, back in mythology, Hercules had that sidekick that was, like, a lot smarter than Hercules. So Amadeus Cho fit into that. And one of the interesting things they would do, when they would talk about one of the things Hercules is known for, he'd be like, no, this is what really happened. And they would give it a story that made more real world sense than, you know, what the myth was. And, you know, like the first story was right after Civil War. So, of course, he hadn't registered. And he's thinking about registering. Ares walks in the room, starts fucking with him, like, yeah, you're under my thumb now. So that makes him say, the hell with this, I'm out of here. And they battle, because, you know, they hate each other, right?
Uh-huh.
You know why they hate each other, right?
Tell me.
Hercules killed one of Ares' sons.
I'm going to be honest, I haven't read much of Hercules in Marvel comics. I've read some things here and there.
No, this is supposed to be in mythology. That.
Okay, let me ask you. Could I pick up the Greg Pak stuff and just really understand the character?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I ask. I'll try and find that. But that is it. No more news stories.
Oh, no. What are we going to do?
End the show?
You know, people, you're getting on my nerves because nobody calls. No one gives us any love. You know,
we got love in the chat room.
We want to talk to you people. We don't want to talk to each other. We don't want to read stories. We want to have conversation with you people. That's why I got a phone number.
215-253-4516.
And every week, I sit by waiting for somebody to call. Tankard don't call in anymore. You know, y'all busy working and stuff. Or doing something. I don't know what Tank be doing half the time, but he's Tank. Stanley don't call us. Nobody called us once.
It's hey, this happens sometimes.
Double A calls just to play around. Tony C won't let his wife on the air. I mean, Ted Turner's WCW.
Whew.
Hey, Ted Turner. Anyway. Let's talk about the other fine shows here at Rant EM Radio.
Let us.
Because we're here every Sunday live, 5 p.m., the What Are You Reading comic book show. Every Saturday night at 11 p.m. is the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan. Every Friday at 9 p.m., Turnbuckle Throwbacks with the Mega Powers and the Impact Player talking about old school and current wrestling. Every Thursday night, Mofo and the Gang, Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. Tuesday nights, Double Shots to the Head, Rant with Tony C and his partner, some double guy, and Freaks and Geeks at 11 p.m. And coming up on August 23rd, we'll be Mega Slam as part
Mega
of
Slam.
As part of the Royal Rumble
at SummerSlam
pre and post show. Post show starts at 6 p.m. The pre-show starts at 12 noon. Nope, just kidding, people. The pre-show will be at 5 p.m.
Are we doing a show SummerSlam weekend?
We're not doing a comic book show. I don't know yet.
Okay. Because
you usually do that on Friday, but you know, I guess we got to work it out with Philip.
All right. This is off air stuff. We'll talk about it then.
And then of course the post show will be at 11 p.m. At which point we'll have all the results of SummerSlam. And Rage will go home and defeat a broken man for losing to Mega Slam, losing to the Mega Powers. They couldn't get the pizza hot dogs, but they'll have something to eat. So, I don't know. Would you try the pizza hot dog?
Yeah. I'd be down.
I don't want to eat cheese and meat together.
I wouldn't dip it in cheese. I mean,
No. I'm saying like, okay. So the cross-hatch hot dog.
Oh, the cheese of the pizza. Oh.
So what if I had built one?
I can have cheese with meat. Just depends on the meat.
I can't. But what I would have done if I had bought one, I would have took all the hot dogs off and put them to a side for another time. Ate the pizza, ate the hot dogs like a day later or something.
Uh huh.
But hey, you know, how come they don't just put hamburger on pizza?
There is such a thing as a pizza burger out there. Just do a Google search.
You never heard of it.
Google search. Well, let's end the show, then Google search.
What is Google?
I'll explain to you off air.
Alright, so, should we please play a song to go out?
Well, first, allow me to tell people you can follow us on Twitter. I am @JoeWoco, JoWoCo.
You can follow me on Twitter at SilverSurfer4FR. And also, if you're interested in having a football team for the Rant World League, send me an email to either my Facebook page or leave it in one of the group pages for Rant In Radio, and I will send you an invite. We got 11 teams, 9 of the 11 teams are locked in, 2 still need to confirm. There's another 9 slots available, but if we don't get enough teams soon, I will just cut that down and we'll just need one more team. And all y'all going to lose anyway, because I'm going to rig this so I win, okay? Yes, I'm corrupt like that. I've learned from Tom Brady how to cheat. So, and the league won't catch me. Won't be looking at my phone. So, and we got one woman in our league, you know, Chaos Bulldog, you know. But we could use more ladies or into fantasy football, you know, because just saying. I'm proud member of the RWL. That's right, Pastor Sadell.
Well, and I'm going to, one last thing I want to mention is that go by Facebook today and like the What Are You Reading comic book show Facebook page, where we update the page of all the news that we will be discussing later on in the week of the show. And you can even, and we'll even talk to you if you post something.
Yeah,
any sort of discussion.
Like the cast of the Ghostbusters visit Boston Hospital in costume. That would have been cool. You know, your sick little child, and then some female Ghostbusters come in to cheer you up. So yeah, all four members of the female Ghostbusters came in costume and visited sick children in a Boston hospital this week. And are you excited for the Boston? For the
female Ghostbusters?
Yes.
I mean,
and that stars Melissa McCarthy, Christian Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I'll check it out, I guess. I haven't really had a Ghostbusters interest in a while, but after seeing Paul Feig's Spy with Melissa McCarthy, I think I have a little bit more of a interest.
You like Spy a lot?
I was pleasantly surprised by Spy. I really liked it, yes.
Yeah, she was kicking ass in that movie, wasn't she?
It was pretty awesome.
Because usually, you know, she just falls down like a fat person.
Well, thankfully, that wasn't the case.
Now, she fell a couple of times, but that wasn't the crust of the movie. You know, just her falling on her face and falling on her fat ass. So, yeah. Would you see a sequel?
If they want to do one, sure. I don't really need a sequel.
I'm just asking. Well, people, you know, Fantastic Four is coming out next week. Who's going to, you going to try to see it, or you don't care?
I am going to go. We're going to reveal it, so.
What do you mean, we white man? We'll see. We got it.
Seeing it on the weekend, and also I'm a big Fantastic Four. I've expressed to you what a big Fantastic Four fan I am, so yeah, I'm going to go see it.
Okay, I'm going to see it too, hopefully. We'll see Man from Uncle tomorrow, if I'm up to it physically.
Oh man, I hate you for that.
Don't hate, appreciate.
I do not appreciate that you're seeing the Man from Uncle before me.
Well, I live in a major metropolitan city, you know.
Okay, rub it in, why don't you? Alright, I got nothing else to say. It's getting hot as balls in here. I gotta let some air in, and dinner time.
Nobody.
So.
If you're interested in being part of the Rant Football Fantasy League, I will hook you up. I just need an email. So I can send you an invite. So, if you got an email address, just, you know. I know Stanley's not into football because he's a European person. So, yeah, that's it. Let's put a stamp on it.
Yeah, let's get on out of here, and I will say thank you all and good night.
Well, it's still daytime where I'm at, but we do appreciate you listening, and hopefully you'll tune in next week, and maybe even give us a call, you know? Stop being on the sideline, so. Oh, man. Sorry, my stomach. We thank you for listening again, so everybody, see you later. See you next time. Peace.